with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Barbara Sullivan. July 27 will be a spectacular day on Sydney Harbour when the tall ship Tenacious arrives from England to a welcoming flotilla. Purpose-built, she is crewed by 40 able and less able bodies. Marnie Roper spoke with Peter Mitchell, project manager for Jubilee Sailing Trust, a charity which uses the adventure of tall ship sailing to unlock human potential. She asked Peter to tell us about the trust.
Essentially, the Jubilee Sailing Trust, it's a globally unique charity where we utilise the adventure of tall ship sailing, basically to unlock human potential and break down the barriers between people of different circumstances. So we focus on bringing together people who would be living with a disability and be able-bodied in one activity. So we break down the barriers that exist between those diverse groups. In terms of our history, we were established in 1978 by a gentleman called Christopher Rudd, who saw a whole lot of school kids playing about in dinghies and saw how it built their confidence. And he looked after children with disability and basically saw an opportunity to say, well, we can bring these people out of their shells and we can raise their self-esteem and we can raise their self-confidence by getting them involved in sailing in some way. And that was a case of looking at what are the different kinds of sailing and how can we best utilise that. So a tall ship is effectively a whole set of sails and ropes that requires an enormous number of people to get the thing moving. So every single person has a job to do. And that means you can get lots of people with lots of different abilities doing lots of jobs.
How many ships do you have?
We now have two ships. Lord Nelson, which is a steel ship. Lord Nelson's maiden voyage was 1986. And then 15 years ago was the maiden voyage of the Tenacious, which is the ship that we're currently bringing down to Australia. And she was built out of wood.
And I understand the largest operative wooden hulled ship in the world.
She is indeed.
And can you describe it?
Yes, absolutely. She's actually built out of Siberian larch from the forests that were planted by Peter the Great to supply the Russian Navy. And essentially we took the entire Jubilee Sailing Trust mission onshore, and she was built by 1,500 volunteers, about half of whom were living with some sort of disability. In terms of statistics in describing Tenacious, she is 586 gross tons, and in terms of size and scale, she is 213 feet in the old measurement from stern to the end of the bowsprit. And in terms of height, she's 42 metres high. And for those that would be living in Melbourne, the height is such that she can't actually fit under the Baltic Bridge. She just squeezes under the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, well, that gives a good impression of how big it is. How many masts?
Technically, she's a three-masted bark, which means that she's a square-rigged sailed ship, and the sails on the final mast, towards the stern of the ship, flow along the length of the boat.
How many crew do you need to get this from England to Australia?
Well, at any one time, there are 9 professional crew on board, and they range from the master. And in terms of qualification of the master, the 500-ton-plus qualification that our master has to have means that he or she is qualified so that they could step off the Tenacious and sail one of the largest cruise liners in the world. Of the other 9 crew, it includes bosuns, down to the cook. And then we have 40 voyage crew. So these are the people that pay to come with us. We have no passengers. And those 40 voyage crew can be people who are highly experienced or have no experience whatsoever. And they can be of all mixed abilities.
And so there's people with all sorts of disabilities?
Yes, indeed.
And they're all catered for?
They are all catered for in a variety of different ways. And both ships were designed and built from the ground up with exactly that in mind. So they are purpose-built. They're the only ships in the world that are purpose-built to be sailed by a mixed-ability crew.
Well, let's get to what you do supply for them. With people of all kinds of disabilities sailing on Tenacious, wheelchair access must present you with some challenges. So how do you deal with those?
Well, you start at the point from going from the shore to the ship, the gangway that we use for Tenacious, they're fully wheelchair accessible. Once you're aboard the ship, as you can imagine, if you were sitting in a wheelchair going around the deck on a fairly stormy, windy day. There are various tracks along the deck that you can essentially lock your wheelchair against that then allows you to move around the deck. Tenacious herself has at least three different deck levels, and so we have a wheelchair accessible lift between each deck level that are specifically designed so that whatever angle the ship is heeling over to in whatever wind, the wheelchair user can still access the lift, use it to get between decks and feel completely independent as a contributing member of the crew.
I think you get them up in the crow's nest as well, don't you?
We do indeed. That's a bit of a palaver, but essentially we will take somebody with their wheelchair and put them in the crow's nest, which is the platforms up the mast. But essentially, yes, we can put anyone anywhere.
So they have to have a head for heights.
Or they can challenge themselves. That's the key premise, is that you can come aboard as a crew member and not be winched up the mast, not really partake too much if you don't want to. But the idea is that if you start to see other people displaying activities that you would have thought perhaps they weren't any good at or perhaps they weren't able to do, then that challenges you to lift your own self-esteem and your own confidence and step forward and say, okay, maybe I can do that. It's seated in both sides of the coin working together and seeing the ability rather than the disability.
So real teamwork involved.
Absolutely. And a key piece of our mission is not focused at those people living with disability, but more so focused at those living without disability. So they actually see beyond the disability itself to the person and the person's ability. If you look at the disability sector within Australia, one in five Australians are living with some form of disability. Often those people have lower income rates, they have lower employment rates, and most of that is because the able-bodied employer is seeing the disability, not the ability. So we provide an opportunity for those people who might be working in companies, might be leading companies. Some of the big CEOs of the world have sailed with it. And then they start to see the person and their abilities and see them as a potential employee rather than as somebody who needs help.
And so it's only certain areas that they need extra help, like the wheelchair lifts. And what about access to cabins and bathrooms?
We have access for six wheelchair users and then two specially designed cabins so that people who are really of limited manoeuvrability can come with their own carers and have facilities that are suitable to their needs. The bathroom facilities are all closet mat loos designed specifically for people in wheelchairs with lifts, with showers in the facilities. So they are state-of-the-art and purpose-built.
How many cabins are there altogether?
Not that many cabins. Most people are actually in bunks.
Okay.
So there are bunks for all 40 with essentially the two cabin facilities. And if you picture it in your mind's eye, the bunks are laid down in two rows on either side of the ship. So there'll be a lady side and a gent side. People can sail as couples, but and quite luxurious bunks in comparison to most tall ships.
And then in these bunks, now I know, there's a special little thing for people who are deaf or hearing impaired.
The aim is...
Wake-up calls.
Exactly. Well, the aim is that you become an active member of the crew and a completely independent member of the crew. So we're split into watches. You'll have a group of 8 to 10 people in a watch on any voyage, and that group will be responsible for sailing the ship at any one time. And when it's time for your watch, it might possibly be in the middle of the night, you can set your own alarm, and if you are hearing impaired, that's a vibrating pad under the pillow.
And what about visually impaired? Is there anything special for them?
Yes, indeed. In order to understand exactly where they are on the ship, there is a track that they can then follow all around the deck. There are arrows that will point fore and aft so that at any point on the ship you can work out exactly where you are and see whether you're looking forward, where the ship is going, or looking sternwards. There are braille signs that will tell you exactly where you are. And also, as crew member, you'll be helming the ship. There is a speaking compass, so you can set the course and the ship will speak to you to tell you exactly what degrees you've set that at. And then you can wear a headset that will have a low tone for too far to port or a high tone for too far to starboard and keep the boat clearly on its course.
And Peter, what sort of training does the whole crew have to be able to sort out what's available and what's not?
When you come on board as part of the voyage crew on Tenacious or on Lord Nelson, essentially we will assume that you have no experience. Now, the key is that every single person that crosses the rail onto the ship is considered an equal part of the crew. And therefore, you come in, we give you safety briefings. And as you can imagine, a ship of this size and this complexity takes quite a long time to maneuver itself off the hard and then out into the harbour or into Port Phillip Bay or wherever she happens to be sailing. And during that period, there's a familiarisation process. You are led around by the crew, the professional crew. You also break into those watches that I described earlier, and there's a watch leader who will be an experienced sailor, who will also be very experienced in understanding diverse teams of people and perhaps the special needs of some of the crew.
Now, Tenacious comes through the heads on the 27th of July. Tell us about the welcome you've got planned.
So we're trying to make a reasonably grand welcome, as this is Tenacious's first visit to Sydney. She will appear at the heads on the 27th of July, hopefully at about 10 a.m., wind permitting, and she will be met there by two of Sydney's tall ships, the Soren Larsen and the James Craig. We'll then come down the harbour, led by the Shirley Smith, which is the fire tug, hopefully spouting water to make a bit of a grand entrance. And hopefully we will be talking to all of the yacht clubs around the harbour and have a flotilla of other smaller boats and yachts following us down. We'll have a media boat out there, and perhaps one of the TV channels will have a helicopter covering us. We take about an hour to come down the harbour, so arriving into the Darling Harbour and the Australian National Maritime Museum at about 11 a.m. on the 27th.
And then you're doing a similar thing into Melbourne.
Absolutely. So we spend a few days in Sydney, where we effectively clear customs and immigration and such like. There will be a chance for anybody to come down and have a look at the ship, and then we'll voyage down from Sydney to Melbourne. Now, there are still a small number of berths available on that voyage, and you will then come into a very big welcome into Melbourne, where she will come through the Rip at about 7 a.m. So we will have a tall ship meeting her there.
And then following all of that, there are other trips.
Essentially, on this visit, we're concentrating on the southeast corner. So from Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Hobart and Geelong. And picking out the date, we try to hit the key sailing type festivals in each of those cities. So we will be going to the Australian Wooden Boat Festival in Hobart, where Tenacious will be a feature vessel. We will be going upriver into the heart of Port Adelaide for the Festival of Vintage Boats, Trains and Planes. We will be a feature vessel for the Festival of Sails and also the start vessel for the Hansa Disability National Championship in Geelong. There are plenty of opportunities for people to get involved in terms of coming on a day sail. Just check the website out. There's voyages, so you can voyage between cities or you can voyage around Sydney or do the same around Adelaide or do the same around Hobart.
And your website is?
www.jst, for Jubilee Sailing Trust, .org.au.
And presumably there's always a need for volunteers and sponsors?
Yes, indeed. Volunteering, we will have both offshore and onshore volunteering. Onshore, we have a whole period of scheduled maintenance, people to show others around the ship, and we have events.
Peter, this has just been so interesting, and we wish you well and hope that our listeners will line the harbour to welcome you as well.
Absolutely, and I hope many of them will come aboard.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.